Hello, welcome to Bethany Lutheran here in Warren, Oregon. Today I'm preaching on Matthew chapter 5, verses 21 through 37. You have heard that it was said to those of ancient times, "You shall not murder, and whoever murders shall be held liable to judgment." But I say to you that if you are angry with a brother or sister, you will be liable to judgment. And if you insult a brother or sister, you will be liable to council. And if you say you fool, you will be liable to the hell of fire. So when you're offering your gift at the altar, if you remember that your brother or sister has something against you, leave your gift there before the altar and go. First to be reconciled to your brother or sister, and then come and offer your gift. Come to terms quickly with your accuser while you are on the way to court with him, or your accuser may hand you over to the judge, and the judge to the guard, and you will be thrown into prison. Truly, I tell you, you will never get out until you have paid the last penny. You have heard that it was said, "You shall not commit adultery." But I say to you that everyone who looks at a woman with lust has already committed adultery with her in his heart. If your right eye causes you to sin, tear it out and throw it away. It is better for you to lose one of your members than for the whole body to be thrown into hell. And if your right hand causes you to sin, cut it off and throw it away. It is better for you to lose one of your members than for your whole body to go into hell. It was also said that whoever divorces his wife, let him give her a certificate of divorce. But I say to you that anyone who divorces his wife, except on the ground of unchastity, causes her to commit adultery. And whoever marries a divorced woman commits adultery. Again, you have heard that it was said to those of ancient times, "You shall not swear falsely, but carry out the vows you have made to the Lord." But I say to you, do not swear at all, either by heaven, for it is the throne of God, or by the earth, for it is his footstool, or by Jerusalem, for it is the city of the great king. And do not swear by your head, for you cannot make one hair white or black. Let your words be yes, yes, or no, no. Anything more than this comes from the evil one. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable to you, O God, my rock and my redeemer. Amen. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Do you have house rules? House rules are those rules that people make in order to live together in some sort of harmony. Most families have house rules, and many of them post them in a common area. There may be a sign in the bathroom that reminds one to hang up the wet towels. Maybe there's a list on the refrigerator with rules such as, if you opened it, close it. If you dropped it, pick it up. If you dirtied it, wash it. I once saw a list of house rules. It started out sane, but, well, you'll see. Rule one, no hitting or pushing. A good rule, no physical aggression in the home. But then the rules about aggression got more specific. Rule three, no kicking. Rule seven, no throwing toys. Rule 11, we do not light people on fire. After that, I think mom just gave up. Rule 12, no fighting before mom has coffee. So there can be chaos, just not before coffee. House rules are meant to guide us in everyday life, so that we might live in harmony more than in chaos. Because our basic instinct is to be self-centered, we need rules to live by. And some of those rules are based on common sense. Yet even rules and laws based on simple common sense seem to take on a life of their own. The Federal Register of Regulations is close to a million pages. In the book of Exodus, we see that God gave Moses some basic rules, the Ten Commandments. However, then we have 27 chapters of do's and don'ts in the book of Leviticus, and another 34 chapters of rules in the book of Deuteronomy. But that wasn't enough. Over time, the rabbis managed to multiply those into 6,200 pages of Talmudic law covering every aspect of beliefs, behaviors, diet, custom, ethics, and attitudes. All these sub-laws covering every detail and circumstance would not be necessary if people were not always looking for a loophole, a way to get by with doing what we want to do without exactly breaking the law. Are you thinking, oh, I know what you're talking about, but it's not me. Oh, yeah? Have you ever justified speeding by thinking it's okay as long as it's less than 10 miles an hour over the speed limit? Or, but officer, I was only keeping up with the flow of traffic. Or, you are not stealing produce, you're only sampling the grapes and the cherries and the strawberries to see if they're good enough to buy. Or, I know I sent that payment. The check must have gotten lost in the mail. Well, then Jesus comes along, and he has more to say about obeying the law, about living in accordance with the will of God. In today's text, Jesus helps us understand God's house rules. He knew what mankind did with the Ten Commandments. Let's see. Number two, you shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain. But God, you don't understand. I wouldn't swear if he wasn't so aggravating. How about number three? Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. But God, the boss pays double time on Sundays. That means I could pay off the second mortgage. Oh, I know. How about number five? You shall not kill. I got that one, God. Never killed anybody. I come close to it when she goes on and on and on, but I haven't killed her yet. It all goes back to a right attitude toward the law. We tend to look for the bare minimum that we have to do to stay in God's good graces. However, as we saw in last week's gospel lesson, Jesus says, anyone who breaks one of the least of these commandments and teaches others to do the same will be called the least in the kingdom of heaven. We live in an age of personal truth. Too many times have I heard someone say, well, that's your truth, but your truth is not my truth. Huh? Since when is the truth not the truth in all cases? For all people. We live in a time when people claim to be a Christian and live according to their truth. Believe in Christ, then figure out, you know, what you think is right for you. Do not try to impose your values on me. I think it would appear that the Ten Commandments have become the Ten Suggestions. Too many people practice a la carte Christianity. I like that commandment. Leave those three out. I don't like them. You know, they cramp my lifestyle. And not that one. It makes me feel guilty. I don't like that. And so we have Christians who have no qualms about getting paid under the table to avoid paying their income tax. We have Christians who hire illegal immigrants because they can pay them less than a living wage, pay no Social Security, income tax, or benefits because they know that the employee needs to hide in the background. They cannot complain without getting deported. We have Christian employers who put their employees in danger by not implementing required safety features in order to get a higher profit margin. We have Christians who never miss church, but live together without the benefit of marriage because they're not sure yet that they're ready for that kind of commitment. Or the Sunday school teacher who just had her second abortion because her boyfriend can't marry her until his divorce is final. We have the Christian politician who votes for abortion rights and gay marriage while he expounds on the importance of morals to gain financial support from the Christian Businessmen's Association. And the Christian used car salesman who rolls back odometers for the sake of the sale. But God's all about love, so he accepts us as we are, right? He will accept my lifestyle because he wants me to be happy, right? No, my friend, no. In each one of the scenarios I named, someone was being hurt because of another person's actions or beliefs. God loves all of us. God gave us his law because he wants all of us to flourish. He wants us to respect each other, to love each other, to see his own image within each other. Jesus did not abolish or contradict the law. Rather, he gave a fresh perspective on God's law. Jesus enters our homes and posts God's house rules. Love one another as God loves you. Support one another as God supports you. Focus on the positive of others. Dispense grace as God gives you grace. Outside of your marriage, be chaste. Relationships matter. Be faithful to your commitments. Ensure that your word can be trusted. And when you miss the mark, Jesus gives an extra dose of grace. There's a story about a group of 10 men who were soldiers. These soldiers had been locked in vicious battles for 3 years, and in one battle, all 10 were killed. All 10 went up to the pearly gates of heaven to see St. Peter, who was the guardian of the gate of heaven. St. Peter came out and said, "Good to see you men here today. I've been expecting you, although you were not expecting to see me. Will you please take a seat in one of those 10 desks over there, right outside the pearly gates? I'll give each of you a piece of paper and a pencil. Please write the numbers 1 through 10 on the paper." All the big burly soldiers, still in their military fatigues and splattered with mud and blood, did what they were told to do and sat down at the desks. Peter then instructed them, "You answer yes or no to these 10 questions. Question number 1, did you love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, and soul, and your neighbor as yourself? Yes or no?" The soldiers looked at each other, puzzled, not sure if they should be truthful or not, but it didn't seem wise to lie to St. Peter. Peter went on. "The second commandment, you shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain. Did you ever swear in your previous life or recently when you were a soldier?" The soldiers, knowing their everyday vocabulary, looked at each other puzzled. "The third commandment, you shall remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. Did you go to church on a regular basis and worship God with other Christians?" The soldiers became agitated and nervous. "The fourth commandment, did you honor your parents and all authority at all times?" Silence. "The fifth commandment, you shall not kill. Did you soldiers kill?" The soldiers knew their jobs for the past 3 years. How many people had they killed? Who knew? Who kept track? It was a bloody war. Peter continued with the questions about the 6th, 7th, 8th, 9th, and 10th commandments. and the soldiers seemed to be slipping deeper into their foxholes. Finally, after the questions were finished, the leader of the platoon raised his hand and asked, "St. Peter, how many do you have to get correct to get into the pearly gates?" The men nodded in appreciation. The platoon leader continued asking the questions on behalf of the men. "What if you get two right? Maybe three? Maybe four? Is that good enough to get in?" St. Peter, with his steely gray eyes, looked at the leader and spoke without a hint of hesitation. "You have to get them all right. You have to get 100%. Well, the soldiers reacted, as you've probably guessed. They turned over their papers in disgust. They collectively grunted their disapproval. They put down their pencils and threw up their hands in disbelief. About that time, Jesus walked through the pearly gates and into the classroom of desks where the men were seated. Jesus said, "I've taken the test for you, and I've scored 100% for you. Come into my kingdom." And all the soldiers went, "Whew." And all the people of the earth crossed themselves and went, "Whew." Yes, we live in a world of moral chaos, and none of us will enter the pearly gates in heaven because of our obedience. But we who believe in Christ Jesus will enter by means of forgiveness dispensed in grace. Thanks be to God. Amen.